Hello and welcome to the Port Haven Podcast, episode 41. We are here with you every Monday and Friday to bring you the latest in Star Wars news and rumors. And today I am, as always, your host, Professor Django, also known as Terry. And I have with me my co-host,
Yoda Bauer, on the forums, or whatever odd name I've decided to name myself in recent days. But usually Yoda Bauer, also known as Jess.
Yeah, I think I'm actually Batman Fett at the moment.
I was just recently trainee McTrainface, so, you know, you never know what I'm going to be.
It's always a mystery at Port Haven. Oh, well, we are here today to give us some exciting news. This is an exclusive for Port Haven today. Mm-hmm. So before we talk about what the news is, why don't you kind of give us a rundown of where we've gotten this from?
All right, so some of you might be a little bit shocked and disappointed that we didn't take this straight to the forums, but, you know, here at Port Haven, while we had a few VIPs in the beginning, it's been a while since we've had anybody in the know who can give us information, so we thought, what better way to introduce this than through our bi-weekly podcast? And so we're going to introduce it now, but I have a friend who's moved out there and knows the inner workings of these new Star Wars films, and I've gotten some inside scoop, and I can't mention much about the person because I can't out the person, but I've compiled a list of some really interesting plot tidbits about the upcoming film, and we're gonna kind of break down some theories that may actually be more than theories as a result.
Yeah, this is some exciting stuff too, just to kind of give you a preview. And of course, the two of us are not under any kind of non-disclosure agreement, so we're just gonna lay it all out there for you and let you kind of see what you think of these theories. I will say though that the more you read through this list, the more you realize how plausible some of these theories really are. And I think it lends credence to our source. And even more so, you know, I remember like the old Super Shadow days of fake rumors. And once we start to tell you some of these things, I think you will see
so much more than what we saw out of Super Shadow.
Yeah, without a doubt. So why don't you just go ahead and lay one of these on us, and we'll just kind of walk through this list of things that we are announcing to the world today.
All right, so my friend was walking through this office building, you know, had the glorious job of taking out the trash, takes the trash bin out. Of course, it was like really windy day, and there's this big gust of wind, trash falls all over the place, so, you know, starts compiling all the trash and finds this production note in the trash, right? And it had a nice little Disney stamp up in the corner, and it was talking about plot points for Princess Leia, and it was just like background notes, not something that would necessarily be in a script, but like stuff, you know, authors could pull from, or maybe the scriptwriter could pull from. And there was something there about it becomes standard procedure for all high-ranking members in the Resistance to have their genetics on file. You know, so like if they needed a new kidney or you know, as what's always common in the Star Wars universe, if you need a new limb, you know, they could replicate your missing body part. But for whatever reason, you know, this was kind of put in with some top secret materials. And so, like, why would this background information about, like, organ regeneration be top secret? And then, basically, what my contact was telling me was that there's a significant belief that Rey, her parentage might be pretty darned familiar to all of us, because she could, in fact, be a clone of Leia Organa.
You know, and when you first told me this, you know, it struck me as something that was kind of outlandish. But the more I think about it, the more, you know, it really makes sense. You know, we have a long history of clones in the Star Wars universe.
Long history.
And not just in the prequels, but also, you know, in the expanded universe, you know, we've seen, you know, it over and over again, clones of the Emperor, you know, with mm-hmm. with more and more vowels added to their names. And I don't find it all too surprising to learn that Daisy Ridley would be essentially playing here a young Carrie Fisher.
And you know, other things about it make sense. You know, Luke and Leia always had that strong kind of telepathic connection, and here we see Rey having this strong connection to Luke's lightsaber. You know, when Kylo talks about Rey's dreams that she always has, he describes the island that Luke is on. You know, that could be in the same way Leia could see where Luke was at the end of Empire Strikes Back, where she knew he was dangling underneath the of Cloud City. So there could be evidence that there's that kind of psychic twin bond between Luke and Leia too, you know?
Right. Well, and you know, and too, a lot of people have speculated, you know, you've seen the moments on screen of Leia and Rey interacting. You know, and a lot of people got a kind of motherly vibe that's kind of led to some speculation that, you know, mm-hmm. that Rey might be related to Leia in that kind of way, or at least as an aunt, if she's Luke's daughter.
Right.
You know, but this would seem to suggest that moment is Leia reacting in that way because she is staring her younger self in the face.
Right. Well, and another thing that, you know, becomes interesting is Harrison Ford has been so mum about whether or not he's appearing in episode 8, which is strange because obvious reasons. And now we have this young Han Solo movie. What if Han's genetics are on record too? What if the young Han Solo movie isn't a prequel?
Right.
You know, we could be seeing, rather than like a recasting or a straight reboot, we could see Han, Luke, and Leia come back as younger selves.
Right. And you know, and this even makes more sense if you think about The Force Awakens, or in that scene where Finn and Rey are talking to Han on the Falcon, you know, and it's like, you are the Han Solo. You know, you could almost read into this surprise that they are with the original Han Solo, Han yes. Solo Prime, if you will. Mm-hmm. Almost acknowledging this use of cloning, that may be something even more widespread than we realized.
I mean, that could be why there are all these different, like, you know, people hear about Han Solo the war hero and Han Solo the smuggler. You know, why wouldn't they assume it's the same Han Solo? Well, maybe there's a lot of Han Solos running around. And that's why Rey gets the Kessel Run numbers incorrect.
Right.
Because she was quoting a different Han Solo's Kessel Run.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Perfect sense to me.
Yeah. So this is something I'm really excited about, is that, you know, who's Rey's parents? Anakin and Padme, you know?
And you know, I remember, too, how many people were upset, you know, with such a secondary character as Boba Fett being revealed to be a clone of someone else. But in a way, I think that has primed us as Star Wars fans to accept now this mm-hmm. truth that Rey, you know, is a clone of Leia.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited with where this could go in the Star Wars universe, especially if they start to pull in, you know, within the expanded universe, cloned Jedi often went insane. So maybe Rey becomes less and less stable.
Right. You know, and it almost makes you wonder, too, if, you know, there's still been discussion about what the title The Force Awakens means. But maybe it's a thing in new canon with clone Jedi that only one of them can be Force sensitive at a time. And Leia has somehow passed on her own Force sensitivity into her new clone. And that Force abilities are just now awakening in Rey in a completely different sense.
Well, and at some level, that would tie into Dark Empire when Palpatine made clones of himself,
right,
to survive and survive and survive.
No, it only makes sense. Why don't you lay one of these other revelations that we're broadcasting today for the first time?
All right. Yep. I looking at my list here. I think the perfect follow up to that one. While we're talking about lineage and that sort of thing, another character with sort of mysterious origins is, of course, Snoke. So my friend who's out there and in the film world keeping an eye on all of these things. This other day, he had to go get lunch for someone. It was a name he didn't recognize. You know, goes out. It was this big, horrible process. You know, he had to get the order like 5 different times. When he finally got it, it was wrong. And he's like bringing in food and he's dropping it all over the place. And it was cold. It was this big ordeal. But anyway, he brings this food in a, it was a book meeting for the story group. And, you know, like Pablo was there and he was so excited when he was telling me about it, and they were discussing future Star Wars books. And one of the Star Wars books that both of us have read is Dark Disciple, right, which dealt with Asajj Ventress and Quinlan Vos. And, it built up a lot of character for Ventress, and mm-hmm. It was, of course, based off of scripts for Clone Wars. And this story, this particular story group, you know, they were discussing old Clone Wars plot lines. And he said he saw some of the voice actors who now work on Rebels in this meeting and kind of discussing where they wanted to take things. And there were a couple authors there for where spinoff novels or comics might go. And they,
right,
they were talking about the one thing they cut from Dark Disciple was they originally wanted to make it where it was ambiguous about whether or not Ventress may have ever had a child. You know, it was something where they weren't sure the fans were going to accept it. If you know anything about the storyline, Ventress goes on a very personal storyline that I don't necessarily want to give away, but she forms a connection with someone, and they thought it would, you know, be the perfect kind of cherry on top to leave this ambiguity as to whether or not something ever came from that. And then they, you know, decided it was going to be too much. It was going to be too much to do what they were doing with her character anyway. So that got cut out of the book. But they thought maybe in Rebels, they could introduce this young kid who would be a child of Asajj Ventress. And so he would kind of basically be like half Knight Brother, if you will. And he'd like meet up with Ezra, just because there's been a lot of speculation, even in promos for Rebels, as to whether or not Ezra is going to be stay on the path of the light or not, and there's going to be all this stuff. Well, he said while he was in this meeting, you know, they were being very hush hush while he was in there, because obviously they were talking about big stuff. But he said he managed to get a sketch of a character, and he actually took the sketch. He like stole this sketch, which I didn't approve of. But when he told me, I couldn't blame him for wanting to take it. But it was this kind of like baldish looking person, looked a lot like Ventress.
Right.
And in it was like a concept art for an episode, and he had a fresh scar over one of his eyes. And the implication is that Snoke could be a child of Asajj Ventress, and that's how they're gonna like pull in some importance for her character.
You know, and this makes sense again too, especially if you've read Dark Disciple and you know more about that sort of personal story that Ventress and the journey she went on in that book. But also in that book, you know, she sort of lets the sort of bald thing go for a while, you know, mm-hmm. and grows out what's described as kind of long blonde hair, which was weird for me. But mm-hmm. I think if we are to understand now that they cut this out initially from the book, maybe they added that detail in as yeah. a way of trying to cover up, not necessarily cover up in like a Watergate kind of way, but
right.
to change things to sort of make that more mysterious or to make it more ambiguous there as well.
Well, because, you know, if Snoke looks like anybody in the Star Wars universe, he looks like Asajj Ventress.
Right.
And adding that simple detail of hair to a Ventress is a huge thing. I mean, if you watch Clone Wars, Ahsoka in one episode calls her the Hairless Harpy. I mean, they make a point of her baldness.
Right.
In the Clone Wars. And I think really accenting how much hair she has in that novel. I mean, of course, Ventress did have hair later on in the series, but I mean, the novel's based off of scripts for the Clone Wars.
Right.
So, you know, this does kind of carry in, and these are scripts that did exist, you know, after the Disney purchase. You know, it's a little fuzzy, like, how long they were allowed to develop these stories, but, you know, I don't think it's inconceivable to think, like, you know, we had this interesting plot line of this Ventress child, and, you know, we need to create this Force user, potential Force user, in this galactic leader from somewhere, and it's such a natural way to link these two things. It could also be why they're staying away from Clone Wars material so much.
Right.
Because there, who knows what secrets are in what was unshown.
Well, and it makes sense, too, though, that they would include Dark Disciple, which is this Clone Wars spinoff novel, essentially, that came from, you know, these unaired episodes in the new canon. You know, there's no other Clone Wars property that has been included that way.
It was such a big precedent, yeah.
Right, I think it really speaks to, again, the veracity of this kind of information that we're getting. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it also makes sense, too, given that, you know, we have been told that to the extent that Snoke is associated with the dark side, that he is not necessarily a Sith. And that plays with Ventress as well. Ventress, at one point in time, wanted to be a Sith, and despite being a dark side user, eventually rejected that altogether. I think that makes sense in that context as well, with Snoke being this dark figure that's not necessarily a follower of the Sith, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of these things that I found to be especially interesting, this is not so much a plot point as a production note, that I guess you could call it. So it's been announced in the past that Rian Johnson in Episode 9 wanted to film Episode 9 on actual film, which I think is impressive in an age where so much is digital. And you see directors like Quentin Tarantino going out of their way to produce film, you know, on actual film. But some of the film, you know, when you're editing on actual film, you know, the stuff that's on the cutting room floor, it becomes more of a literal thing than a metaphor. And what we've found, and also in this sort of list of a compilation of leaks here, is that Episode 9 is not just being filmed on actual film, but in black and white. What do you think about this notion of having a completely black and white Star Wars film?
I really like it. You mean Episode 8, though?
Right, yes, Episode 8, not
yes,
Episode 9.
Yes, Episode 8, well, we can get to Episode 9 in a minute, but Episode 8, so we heard about this because, funny story, so again, my friend works out there and went, weirdly enough, he was just on his lunch break and went to the bathroom and was using the room next to an assistant of Rian Johnson. And, you know, they were just making bathroom talk, and the assistant was complaining about having to order all of this really useless stuff. And found out that Rian Johnson had recently requested a large purchase of black and white film. And now I know Rian Johnson does all their work, but, you know, this assistant happened to be wearing a Disney windbreaker.
Right.
Like, with full-on Donald Duck all over it. So, I mean, we can only make so many connections here. But I think that's a really interesting choice. I think it lends credence to the idea that 8 will be entirely a flashback.
Right, which was a Port Haven podcast first heard exclusive as well.
Yes. I kind of like it because it makes me think that maybe, you know, it won't even be like the Hobbit style where it's framed as a flashback. Like, it could be a flashback in that we all know it's the past, but like, there's not even really bookends there. Like, it, I think what it, you know, instead of like where the prequels made everything brighter and flashier and more digital, here he's showing like this is old, this is older in time because we're filming it on black and white.
You know, and I just love the metaphor. You know, Star Wars has always been about this dichotomy of light and dark, and to give us the sort of subtext of literally seeing everything in black and white. You know, it just
absolutely
it works in a really kind of deep way, which is exactly what I would expect from a director like Rian Johnson to make those types of artistic choices, again, to bring the kind of cinemaphile Star Wars back. You know, this kind of depth of film production as a way of saying something specific.
Well, and you know, one thing, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, but that actually kind of concerns me a little bit. But just like you say, you know, Star Wars has always been this kind of dichotomy. Maybe this is a sign that Episode 8 will focus more on the social issues in the Star Wars universe. And rather than making it about, you know, different people, but, like, you know, viewing the film in black and white, which really, at least in the United States, so many of our issues are through a black and white lens these days. And it's an issue we're really dealing with. You know, I'm not, you know, when I go see a Star Wars movie, I don't necessarily want social issues forced upon me, but I know it's something that people in, you know, fans of Star Wars kind of like wanted deeper issues. I know they've made a big push with, you know, Rey being a strong female character, and J.J. Abrams recently came out and said that there was going to be a gay character in Star Wars, and I think that maybe using a visual metaphor of a black and white film, especially in the fallout of the controversy of Finn, you know, being a stormtrooper,
right?
I think this could be pretty big.
Well, and when you consider as well that this will not just be the first black and white Star Wars film, but the first major IMAX and IMAX 3D film ever shot in black and white. It really does break a lot of cinematography. It's forging new ground.
Yeah.
So what were some of the other leaks that we've acquired that we wanted to share today?
Continuing on, this one is more of kind of a fun fact. Most of the leaks I have are actually more, if anything to do with story-wise has actually been more to do with parentage. I think mostly because my friends kind of got more of an ear open for that kind of thing. But he was telling me about this, this time he was, again, working in the office building, and he had to go pick somebody up from the airport. So he went to pick up this writer, I think it was somebody coming in to write comics, but hadn't really written for Star Wars before, and was really confused and kept talking about how he was writing, thought he was writing like a kind of like a Greek or Roman tragedy. And he kept talking about this character named Jocasta, and I can't remember which Greek tragedy it is. It might have been Oedipus, but there's like a mother character named Jocasta, and that's where he got confused. And the guy explained, no, you're going to like a Star Wars meeting. You're probably talking about Jocasta Nu, you know, everyone's favorite librarian. And he was able to piece together from this drive from the airport that this was a comic author who was writing a General Hux comic series, and it turns out that Hux is a child of Jocasta Nu and Count Dooku.
And here again, you know, I think, you know, all of these things, it's just the more you think about them, the more obvious it becomes.
Right.
But given what we know about Dooku and Jocasta Nu, you know, it almost makes sense here that Jocasta, who, you know, seems kind of over the top upset when Obi-Wan suggests that the temple records might have been altered, you know, it doesn't make that much of a leap to say maybe she doth protest too much, as Shakespeare would say, you know, and was actually involved in erasing some of these records to aid Dooku. And then if you can buy that, which seems straightforward to me, then it's just a simple leap there to a deeper romantic relationship that might have led down to other descendants as well.
I should clarify. I think I said child. I did mean grandchild.
Right.
In case you're doing the age math. And yeah.
Descendant here is what we're working with.
Descendant. Yeah. Yes. Grandchild or great grandchild. For me, it helps explain Hux's extreme disdain for Kylo Ren, because if you think about it, his grandparents or great grandparents, you know, one was a Jedi librarian, and the other one was a Jedi turned Sith Lord.
Right.
And he appears to have no force powers whatsoever. And I think that he has an intense jealousy for the powers that Kylo Ren has. And that he feels like he's owed that too, you know? And he's never going to have that same bond with Snoke. And I think that's where their rivalry really comes from.
Right. You know, and as well, if you read you know, the 2-year-long 24-issue Jocasta Nu origin comic that Dark Horse published back in the day before it switched back to Marvel, then you know that the younger Jocasta Nu had bright red hair, which is so indicative of General Hux, and is there again to be this visual sign of this connection.
Well, I mean, when I first saw Domhnall Gleeson, my thought was, are they going to bring in Mara Jade, and was he going to be Luke's son because of the red hair thing? And now this just kind of, you know, it gives his character more than he's just Tarkin too.
Another one of these leaks that I was particularly fond of is not so much a leak about episode 8 itself, but a connection between episode 7 and episode 8. And it gives us a little bit of a picture into the politics of the New Republic as well. But if you know anything about me and my Star Wars fandom, you know I'm a big fan of the New Jedi Order series. And outside of the New Jedi Order, one of my favorite books that kind of ties into the NJO was Rogue Planet. And what this leak sort of suggests was that the sentient living planet Zonama Sekhet from these books was actually the planet that the First Order built Starkiller Base on. So if you know anything about Zonama Sekhet, it's one of the rare planets in the Star Wars galaxy that has multiple climates, which we saw on Starkiller Base. Well, we know that Zonama Sekhet has a unique relationship with the Force, which could have been appealing to the First Order. And so this leak suggests not just that that Zonama Sekhet was Starkiller Base, that's kind of the connection between the films, but that in Episode 8 we will see General Leia Organa being brought on trial for conspiracy to murder this sentient planet when the Resistance destroyed Starkiller Base.
And, you know, this is something where, you know, my first impulse was that's such a obscure reference, you know, like you'd have had to have read that one book that's not necessarily one of the better known books to necessarily reference this. But then I thought about it more. Another prequel era novel that referenced the New Jedi Order, not necessarily Rogue Planet, but referenced the New Jedi Order, was the novel Shatterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And in this novel, Mace has describes this dream he has. He sees a future Coruscant in total ruins, and this like all these strange ships that are taking over. And so many people have theorized in that book that what Stover, who wrote Shatterpoint, was writing about was Mace seeing a vision of the Yuuzhan Vong invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Stover wrote Traitor, one of the novels in the NJO, right, as well as writing Shatterpoint. And Shatterpoint is also one of the Star Wars novels that has been referenced by current new canon material. Mm-hmm. The Kanan comic has certainly not gone out of it, has certainly gone out of its way to not contradict that novel with Depa Bilaba,
right,
being Kanan's former master. Mm-hmm. And so to me, Sekka existing in this new canon through kind of like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, you know, could still exist because it's tied into this other part of the expanding universe that has been up until now fairly well preserved.
Right. You know, and the inclusion of Pablo Hidalgo in this sort of story group meetings, mm-hmm, which again, we've gotten confirmation of that here again today. You know, it, right, makes sense that someone who is so in touch with old continuity would be looking for ways to slip some of these old continuity things into the new continuity. And I think this makes sense with that as well.
Well, and I mean, that is how we heard this particular link. Again, my buddy was working out there, and one day was running, he actually got to run a prop for The Force Awakens to set. He got to move one of the chairs in Maz's cantina, mm-hmm, on set. Like, it was pretty cool. But while he was there, he actually physically bumped into Pablo and knocked all of his books out of his hand, and one of them was Rogue Planet, mm-hmm, which is kind of an odd book to have on the set of TFA. But, you know, another thing with this, where it seems like using Sekka as a planet, as the Starkiller base, that makes sense is, you know, it fits a greater theme in Star Wars, which is life eventually kind of being perverted and mechanized. You know, if you look at Darth Vader, who was a Jedi and got put in armor, or you look at General Grievous, who was an alien and got put into armor, this is a planet that basically got put into armor. You know, it's,
right,
kind of that next step, and it fits in with many things we've seen before.
Yep. So we're here today again, just as a recap, giving you some new leaked information. This is a first time world broadcast exclusive here on the Port Haven podcast. And so why don't you give us, YB, another one of these gems here that we are sharing today?
Right. Yes. So this one I'm pretty excited about. This is, again, this one was crazy. While he was delivering this chair to Maz's cantina, and he was, like, bumping into Pablo, you know, he was so embarrassed that he just tried to, like, sneak off to the side and hide in this back room. And, he, like, snuck around the security guard, figuring, you know, like, he works there, there's nothing that this guard would, like, be keeping from him or whatever. And he went into, like, one of the side rooms, and he bumped into an older gentleman that may seem familiar to you and me. It had been long rumored that we might see what Billy Dee Williams is up to because we haven't seen Lando. Well, mm-hmm, Billy Dee was on set having a meeting with someone that particular day, and this also ties into the idea of Episode 8 being a flashback. There's something very special about Finn. As you know, Star Wars has always been based on various types of mythologies. You know,
right,
the Joseph Campbell type, and they've pulled from a lot of Greek and Roman mythology and this mythology and that mythology, some Western mythology. And they had this idea to pull in an idea from some medieval-like mythology. And what it sounded like is they're playing with the idea of Finn being Lando. Mm-hmm. And that Lando ages backwards like Merlin.
You know, and again, just to kind of give you some background evidence to show that we're just not making this up off the top of our heads. You know, if you follow John Boyega on Snapchat, which I would highly recommend, he snaps a lot, it's very entertaining, then you know, as they were beginning production on episode 8, Boyega spent a lot of time with Brad Pitt, and we saw this in those Snapchats again, you know, and yes. It makes sense that Brad Pitt, you know, who's given us the kind of modern example of this in Benjamin Button, would be somebody that John Boyega would call on to get that kind of acting advice on how to play someone that has been aging backwards like mm-hmm. that as well.
Right. You know, I think it ties into different things that seem to make sense where, you know, Finn is younger, but he seems to have a lot of training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of a case of, like, you know, he has a lot of Lando's skills, but he's forgotten them. So things that are, like, muscle memory, like combat, kind of come back to him, whereas things like suaveness don't. And, you know, you see him, like, having a thing for Rey, and you see him kind of having that kind of infatuation, but he doesn't really know how to work it yet. You know, he hasn't mm-hmm. learned those skills, because he's slowly forgetting things that have come before. But at the same time, things that are more, it's kind of like a Jason Bourne muscle memory type thing.
Right.
You know, he would still remember how to fight and that sort of thing.
I mean, and it gives us a new context now for one of, you know, Star Wars fandom's favorite moments from The Force Awakens with Finn. You know, when Finn is fighting, you know, who now is lovingly called the traitor trooper, you know, the stormtrooper who comes out, you know, and calls Finn a traitor. You know, if we now know, you know, for certain now that Finn is not just a descendant of Lando, but Lando himself, you know, it gives this stormtrooper even more reason to refer to Finn as a traitor, given Lando's various encounters with the old Empire.
Right.
Even before the First Order comes on the scene.
Right. And, you know, and it also, you know, we see that with Lando having his story progression in the original trilogy, you know, like he mm-hmm. became the respectable one. And, you know, we're used to seeing Lando phase in and out. And I think the traitor point is very telling, because no matter what he's trying to do, because he's forgetting part of his life that has come before, mm-hmm. he kind of reverts back to this. He inevitably betrays these different groups that he's in.
Right. And again, it just speaks to that kind of consistent characterization that I like to see in a character from film to film. And again, it speaks to the kind of relationship that Han Solo has with Finn in The Force Awakens as well. This is this kind of, again, long-term relationship between Han and another character, which makes the kind of mentor role that Han plays for this younger Lando even more meaningful, to know the kind of friendship and sort of rivalry that they had when Han was younger and Lando was older.
And, you know, I think this also ties into the idea, you know, of Rey being a clone of Leia.
Right.
Also explained their attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of, like, they're kind of trying to give us the old characters in young faces. And it builds into that as well.
You know, and when Maz looks at Finn and says, "I've seen your eyes before," you know, where else would she have seen those eyes? Well, of course, someone running an establishment like Maz had would have encountered Lando somewhere across her long life, and it only makes that scene make even more sense as well.
And she probably would have met Lando because she has a thing for Chewbacca. So wherever that kind of relationship between Maz and Chewie got started, Lando could have been around.
We can't say. This is just area of speculation, and again, we're avoiding all speculation today.
But it does
raise that question. So there's one more big thing, again, on this list of leaks that we want to share with you today. So why don't you go ahead and give us this last one, and we'll talk about it a little bit.
All right, so this final one, my friend who's living out there, was in a car accident. He's completely fine. Hurt his toe, I think, but he hit the car of J.J. Abrams. Weird small world coincidence. So he gets in this car accident with J.J. Abrams, and they're just both waiting there for the cops to arrive, and you know, he feels terrible, and J.J. is just kind of distraught, and you know, in the middle of all of this, J.J. mutters something under his breath. Well, it turns out the island that Luke is on is actually the island from the TV show Lost. That, as you know, can travel through time and space and travels back to a galaxy far, far away. And that's where Luke lives for a long time. And Luke is actually the first Jacob, if anyone watches Lost. And I know we're avoiding speculation, but it's led me to believe that Snoke might be the smoke monster.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it also ties into the episode where Hurley traveled back in time and wrote Empire Strikes Back. So I think it makes a lot of sense. It combines a lot of universes. I'm really excited to see where this takes the Star Wars universe.
Well, and you know, again, we know that J.J. Abrams has a history of working in more than just Easter eggs, but actual literal plot points and plot devices from various franchises that he's been involved with. And so, again, it makes sense that he would want to include not just a throwback to Lost, but an actual part of the TV show in Star Wars.
Well, it would hit a lot of his big things. It would hit Lost. It would hit time travel. It would be a complete plot point out of the blue. One of the actors in the Resistance is actually a guy from Lost. He was on the TV show and is in The Force Awakens. So I can only assume he's actually his character from Lost.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense, again, just to kind of give you some background that can confirm this. Lost ran on ABC, which, if you don't know, ABC is just an affiliate of Disney. And now that Disney owns Star Wars as a property, why would they not want to use these other things to kind of bolster, if for no other reason than that they could film on the same island sort of already have that location scouted? Why would you not want to work that in, not just in terms of a production location, but in terms of a literal plot point as well? It makes sense as well as to how quickly they could have found Luke, because that was one of my biggest problems at the end of The Force Awakens, is I was expecting this big build-up to finding Luke. They made it this such a big thing, and they got this map, and they found Luke in what, was just mere seconds for us in terms of an audience watching the film. But we know from the new novels that we've read in new canon, that Rey, who again we've confirmed to be a clone of Leia today, was a big fan and had a box set of all the seasons of Lost. And when she saw that in her vision, would have instantly recognized that island as the island from Lost, and presumably would have known how where it was and how to get there.
Yes, absolutely. So that's all I have for big spoilage for today.
Mm-hmm.
It really has me excited for where we're going with episode 8.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled by this, and we are thrilled as a website and as a podcast to be able to bring you these things as exclusive. So again, you're hearing this for the first time with the rest of the world, and we are glad to be able to bring you this kind of premium content at your Star Wars Refuge, your place to find this kind of information. We want to be there for you all the way through the production of episode 8 and 9 and other spinoff films to bring you this kind of stuff as it is released. But before we go, as always, we wanted to throw things over to our pal Nino Star, who's been here with us, listening along, and who has seen all of this leaked information just as the two of us have. So we want to kind of get Nino Star's thoughts on this. So Nino Star, tell us which of these leaks you found to be the most interesting and what you think about these. You know, I'd not even thought about that.
That is beyond anything I even had made a connection about.
Yeah, I had not put two and two together in that way either.
I will have to ask my buddy about that when he gets back from his trip to
out there.
Out there he's delivering t-shirts. He's delivering crew t-shirts currently. Who knows what he'll discover on that adventure.
But for all of us here at Port Haven, we want to thank you again for listening to episode 41. Again, catch us next Monday and every Monday and Friday here in the Port Haven podcast as we bring you the newest news as it becomes available. So I have been Professor Django.
I have been Yoda Bauer.
And you will hear us next time on the Port Haven podcast.
And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Say there's always magic in the air. Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Give me those Star Wars any old day. Near and far was. Please don't let Star Wars come to an end. There's Rey, Finn and Poe and BB-8 as well. What a cute and wacky little droid. And hey, it's Kylo Ren and his back and evil mask. Does he scare you as much as he scares me? Star Wars. Star Wars.
You know, and as well, if you read you know, the 2-year-long 24-issue Jocasta New Origin comic that Dark Horse published back in the day before it switched back to Marvel, then you know that the younger Jocasta New had bright red hair.
Please keep going with this. I think we can descend into hilarity now. Because I think we've now hit absurdity. Like, I think at this point people are going to go, wait a minute. Oh my gosh. I'm pretty impressed at how legitimate we're making these sound, though.